What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Seabreeze Podcast. This week's episode, we're talking coach Ime Udoka and the Pillars. Tune in, stay tuned. We'll be back. Tune into the American dream. Throw the fist up one time for the team. 17 band is about to make it 18. Threes up, C's up, rep if you bleed green. Two J's on them. You know the game ain't the same. Play dumb, I'ma get smart on them. Man to man, 2-3 or 3-2 zone. It really don't matter when we send it at home.
Shot, don't freeze. We move the ball on the court with ease. Turn your radios on, the TVs. Relax, kick back, tune in to see breeze. Game on the line, last shot, don't freeze. We move the ball on the court with ease. Turn your radios on, the TVs. Relax, kick back, tune in to see breeze.
Yeah. It's your boy Breezy. What's going on, Queen?
What's up, Breezy? How you doing?
You know I'm doing good, man. I'm feeling really good, especially after they announced the head coach. Like, and they made it official. And yep. In the pressers though. So how you doing? How was your day? Before we get the show started, I got to check in on my sister.
It was good. I had an excellent day. Trying to stay cool because it's super hot.
Yo. What? Look, cats don't know about East Coast Northeast heat. They think it's sweet because it's snow out here. But when it gets hot, yo,
it makes you say 40 to 100. Right, we go from 40 quick. To 105 real quick.
Real quick. And you be ready to cuss everybody out. Even if you don't curse, words be coming out like, yo, don't bother me. It's hot up in here.
Don't be under me. It's hot in here.
It's so hot up northeast. You ain't trying to do it. You don't want to cook. You don't want to eat. You don't even want to have relations with your partners right now. It's definitely hot. Yo, Donald says it's unbelievably hot. It was hot, Don, at 6:30 a.m.
Right.
I said, I'm going to get up and go run early in the morning, beat the heat. The heat beat me.
They were waiting outside with their hands ready to get hit real quick.
It's crazy out there. It's super crazy. But thank y'all so much for tuning in. We have a great show where we're going to talk about our head coach, and we can finally get down to the get down because we actually heard him speak. We actually heard him say some things. And I know the queen got some things she want to get off her chest because she is really into this guy. And we're not talking about just because he's a good looking coach. He's not a bad looking. He looks good. I'm not going to. He dresses well. Loving this. Suits, loving the digs, you know what I'm saying? Making me want to step my game up. What's going on, Peachy? What's going on, 49ers Shino? What's going on, Donald Brown? My voice is still hoarse from last weekend, guys. I needed a break. I had to take like some days off from podcasting because my voice was shot. All the way shot. But listen, before we get this show started, let's get through the formalities real quick. Listen, if you're on YouTube, which it is streaming on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/WayneBreezy. Also, make sure you follow and subscribe to us on Twitch, twitch.tv/WayneBreezy. We do polls every week. So before the show, there's going to be a poll out there at least 24 hours. And we would love for you guys to follow us on Twitter. Yes, we have our own personal handles, but here's the Seabreeze Twitter right here at Seabreeze P, where you can vote for the show. And we would love to read those results on the show. Follow us on IG at Seabreeze Podcast. And last but not least, go ahead and shoot us some emails just in case we miss something. Or if there's something you want to talk about on the show, you can email us, seabreezepodcast@gmail.com. Woo!
Oh, this has been, I've been holding this in. It's been two whole days.
Two whole days. Listen, Jerry, all right? You my brother from another mother. And so as far as YouTube is concerned, I decided I'm going to do the sports shows on YouTube. Everything else will be on Twitch. They'll be on both. So if you want to participate in all the cool things and the giveaways, you might want to join and follow us on Twitch. Other than that, it will be on YouTube as well, right? So it's going to be on both. And if you got two devices, just go live. Just, you know, watch on both. You know what I'm saying? I got my iPad right here. I got the laptop here. You know what I'm saying? Just do it on both. Shout out to Brandon. What's going on? Did you start my... I gave you a shout out. I'm going to read this.
Wow. All
right, so this is why we can't get into the show right away. He says, Breezy, Celtics are overrated. How can you say a team that's not in the playoffs overrated? I'm just playing. And then he says I'm joking. Not joking, though. He must be a Lakers fan. Who's overrated?
Exactly.
We about to lose all our Laker followers right now.
Don't leave us. We love y'all. Y'all know it. We love y'all. Come on.
We love y'all. We don't love y'all team. Let's just keep it.
Exactly. Let's keep it buck.
I can't believe it. Hurts me to the core when people say that the Celtics are overrated, because I can't figure out how a team that gets zero foul calls, mm-hmm. right? I mean, free throws be like 2 per game with the other team shooting 32. I just don't get how we're overrated. I mean, you can't say Jason Tatum's overrated. You can't say Jaylen Brown's overrated, right?
Nope.
How are the Celtics overrated? I just want
to explain it to me. Just one person. Just give me one. Just one.
Look, Brandon he's a Kings fan. Hey, I used to like, let me tell you when I liked the Kings. Excuse me. Let me tell you when I followed the Kings.
Yeah.
Mike Bibby, Peja Stojakovic, and Chris Webber. Whatever team Chris Webber went to, I kind of liked sort of on the low, even though I'm a Celtics fan, because I'm a Michigan fan, and he was like my favorite player like at that time, yo. Chris
at
Webber.
At that time.
Yeah. So
we'll let you in, Kings fan. You're welcome too.
Yeah, man. Kings are never going to be good, but it's cool. Well, it's going to take them. All right. Look, if the Kings follow the same trajectory as the Phoenix Suns, and all they got to do is get one straight up, like, general minded player. Because let's keep it a buck. Let me ask you this question, Keisha. If the Suns didn't have Chris Paul, would they have been in the playoffs?
No.
Absolutely.
Chris Paul
not.
Is the general. He's keeping them anchored. I swear. I mean, they did win when he was he playing, but they play different when he's there.
I like Brandon. I'm with you, bro. Listen, I've been following Chris Webber since Michigan, all right? Yeah. Chris Webber was so impactful, he brought the long shorts to basketball. That Fab Five team is the reason why Cat started wearing long shorts, because before they were wearing cootie cutters.
Oh,
now
they're
wearing, like, middle cutter shorts. Like, it's weird.
Jaylen kind of gets away sometimes. Jaylen, for a little while, he'll wear the short shorts every so often. Every so often, he'll sneak it in.
One all day underscore with 8 billion numbers after. I'm not going to read your app out there. What's going on? How you doing, man? Thank you so much for tuning in to us on our Twitch channel. We truly appreciate it. Now, we do have some things we're going to get to. Now, I do want to start off with this. All right. Now, Ime Udoka is the 18th head coach. Got to put the word head in front of it. Pause. 18th head coach. Rocking the number 18, right?
Love it.
Going for banner 18. I think Steve said that at the presser, too. How cool would it be if he wins number 18 as the 18th head coach? What are your thoughts just on Ime being hired as the head coach for the Boston Celtics?
He is amazing. I mean, just his presser alone just got me ready to run through a wall, no lie. Like, he really is passionate. You can see he's passionate about basketball. He's passionate about this team, the players on this team. He already knows the personnel he's setting it up already, so everybody understands roles right off the bat. We're not going to have all that, well, who's the guy, who's not the guy, who's this, who's that. Nope. He may set it out right there, let them all know. And I also love that he seems like he's honest, and it seems like he's going to actually give the guys some fight. Like, I love you, but I need you to do more and do better. And that's the kind of the coach that we need right now with the Jays, getting them developed, getting them hot, getting them understanding that they really are not just stars, they could be superstars. And I think he recognized that in his presser. And I was floored. I was so impressed. So impressed.
Now,
come on, Peachy, talk about it.
Well, so here's the thing, right? Because who was it? Jay Williams.
Terrible.
All right. So he comes out and says this tweet, right? That he's the first kind of like black head coach of the Boston Celtics. I don't want to mess up his words, even though he claims those weren't his words. Somebody hacked his account. I was trying to support the dumb guy until he said somebody hacked my. Just own up that you
just
messed
up. Just own up, bro. Just own up. I mean, we all know you made a mistake and just say, oops. My bad. Like, don't act like a hacker jumped in and decided to send that one tweet about the Boston Celtics. Come on.
All I was looking forward to was a Bill Russell middle finger with like the ring on it. Like, that's all I was looking for. I just knew, because you know Bill don't hold his tongue for no one, right?
No.
And he got about 12 rings or something like that, right? So I was thinking 11. He's 11 rings. So I was thinking like 12. Yeah. He absolutely was.
Yes, he was.
There's a few. There's been a few.
It's been
probably
five.
Four or five.
Four or five. It's like a third of the coaching staff was black.
I think Ime makes the fifth.
Yeah.
I think he makes the fifth, because before then there was four. Right. And that was my point.
Bill, Casey Jones, Doc Rivers.
It was four. Yep. Yeah. And so when he came out and said that, I'm not sure what he associates that as. But, you know, this is not that show. But we had to bring it up because, yep. I mean, they talk about it. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know. You're excited about Ime. I'm excited about Mrs. Ime. So, look. If you don't know that I have been a Nia Long fan since before she was born. Now, we got to go back to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with the short haircut. You know what I'm saying? You know, all women can't rock the short haircut. Sorry, ladies. Hate to break it to you.
No.
You'll put some hair on your head. But listen, this woman right here, it was her and Toni Braxton. I think they probably like the only ones. That could rock the short haircut, right? And so Nia Long, the fact that she's rocking that 18 jersey, like, that's so dope. What a relationship they have. They're bringing family into Boston.
I love it.
They're bringing love into Boston.
Yep.
They're bringing relationship into Boston. Speaking of relationships, he talked about relationships.
He did.
He spoke on relationships, and I thought that was huge. But before we get into that, I want to play this clip of the presser. And no, these aren't in any type of order. These are in Breezy's order, because these are how I felt. I kind of like, you know, broke down what he was saying. He talked about talent. And this is why, or one of the reasons why he wanted to come here. And just to kind of like, you know, sum up what he meant by talent, he wasn't just talking about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. He was talking about they have a multitude of first round picks that I would like to develop. Like, I don't know about you, sis, but that blew my freaking mind.
Right? Hit me right here. The fact that you want to develop, that saying the word develop got me here, because to me that means you have a passion, you want to do well. It's just not okay that we're a good talented team with a couple of players. No, you want everybody that has a talent, and recognize that you're a first round pick. That means there's expectations of you, and I want to get that and pull that out of you right there. Motivation to the heart. Loved it.
Now, we're going to get into that clip, and then I want you to hold on to Brandon's comment, because he did mention something, and I do want to address that comment because it's super important to me about the comment he made. But let's go ahead and check out this clip on talent.
Yeah, what I'll keep going back to, the talent, and when you have two young pillars at that age, the sky's the limit, and that's what it starts with. You're only as good as your players and where you push them to get to, and we understand. We've talked about this in depth. You know, we have some work to do, and so that's my job, to bring out the best in them, continue to strive for what this organization is about, and it's about winning. Winning, getting number 18 in here, and that's our goal. And I think, like I said, we've all been aligned with that, in symmetry with what the goal is, and it's not about just getting to a conference finals or doing well in the playoffs. It's about winning a championship. And so anytime you have those young pillars, you have a chance, and I think that's where we're at right now.
Now, he mentioned the word pillars. That's the title of today's episode, Pillars. He also defined who those young pillars were. And so he mentioned Jason Tatum. He mentioned Jaylen Brown. He didn't mention your boy Marcus Smart in that pillar conversation, which we'll hold on. So hold your thought, because I won't address it yet. But Brandon did ask this question. Breezy, can we agree that Doc Rivers is overrated as hell without KG Ray Allen joining Boston? I feel like he was Marty Schottenheimer. I don't think Marty Schottenheimer was overrated, though. I just think he just couldn't find the right pieces. Doc Rivers, though, on another hand,
he's got pieces, though.
Keish, did you think Doc was overrated? And be honest. Don't hold your tongue. Be honest.
You mean overrated now? Or I mean just overrated
then, period, point blank. Overrated as a head coach, point blank, period.
It's kind of hard because, you know, you got the Mbutu and he really brought them together and he had the right pieces, so he was able to get the job done. But, I mean, it's if he didn't have KG, would he been? Would they have won that championship? If they didn't have Ray Allen, overrated. Would they have won that championship? You know what I mean? So
overrated.
Great coach. Yep. You know what I mean? Great coach, but I wouldn't put him up with the, like, great greats. Like, if you can't repeat that same success at another organization and then another organization and then another organization, like, after you had some good pieces with you, like, it does put your coaching abilities into question, and overrated does come to mind. I mean, it's a that's good a coach, word. But yeah, that's hard.
That's a bad word. And it's like, all right, so it's like this. This is how I feel about Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers now is just not a good head coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, he can't coach young stars.
Yep.
He can only coach certain types of stars.
Mm-hmm.
And Doc Rivers wasn't the glue of that team. Kevin Garnett was the glue of that team. Doc Rivers was able to put those defensive sets into there because that Kevin Garnett, that was the last of that era. I know people don't like to use that word because people think eras last for 8 billion years. No, sir. They can last for a year. They can last for 10 years. They can last for 100 years. It's an era, all right? It's a time that passes on by. But during that era, I think that was the end of it. And I think Doc coaches in the old school era of basketball. I think he needs those specific types of players to make his game plan work. You see, he couldn't do it. Now, has Doc coached better superstars on other teams? Heck yes. He's had Kawhi Leonard. He's had Chris Paul. He's had Paul George.
Blake Griffin. Like, all these people still in their prime.
Let's go to Philly. He's had superstars, but they're different types of superstars. They're different era of basketball. So I think Doc Rivers, in the old school mindset, I think he was good if he had that old school minded player, because you could see Rondo was kind of like transitioning, but he still played with the old school mentality. And Kendrick Perkins, old school mentality. Ray Allen, old school mentality. Like, these are the old school basketball players. And I think now that the game has changed, I think it's time for Doc. Step down. Let these guys get in. Same thing with Brad Stevens. Not saying he coached with the old school mentality. I just think he couldn't coach superstars.
No.
I think he can coach regular players.
Right. So Brad does better with, like, mid players. So he was able to take like an Isaiah Thomas and turn him to basically like a Celtics legend, right? Able to get the best out of Evan Turner, able to get the best out of the Jay Crowders. You know what I mean? Those type players. But once Jalen and Jason really started to be able to move and they were starting to ascend, we've had this discussion before. It's hard to be able to understand, to develop and still be able to make them great. And I just, don't know if Brad could have done that. You know what I mean? It just wasn't his time. So that's why his era, as we're talking about era, had to end. Like, great coach. You don't want to take that away from him. He did take them to some Eastern Conference Finals. But we need somebody now to take them to that next level. And we're going back to Ime. I feel like he's saying it, understanding it, knowing what they need. And he's not afraid to say, hey, listen, yeah, it's great we got to some Eastern Conference Finals, but now this is about winning championships. And that's the attitude that we need right now with the young pillars that we have.
And you heard him say it's about winning championships. And now he's going to talk a little bit about the connection.
It was a natural bond with us. Like I mentioned, I was with them with the select team. And they all have different personalities, but we all bonded over that. Coincidentally, I'm here now. Obviously, thought Brad would be here forever. So it was just a natural connection with those guys that I had. And they're going to allow me to coach them, push them. They know I'm going to be on their ass, and that's what they like about me. They've asked me about that. And so they want to be pushed. They want to be directed towards winning, and you expect that from your stars. The character that they showed, like I said, they all have different personality traits. Marcus is one way, Jalen's one way, and Jason is as well. But the bottom line is they want to win and help us get number 18. And so
now here's what gave me hope for Marcus Smart. He mentioned Marcus Smart. He didn't say he was a pillar. He didn't say he was part of the foundation. But he sure enough is using context clues. Let me know Marcus Smart ain't going nowhere anytime soon.
Yep, that's what I, when I saw it, that was the first thing that popped into my mind. Because remember, we had this discussion about, okay, now Danny's gone, Brad's gone. Marcus is probably, that was probably his last couple of games in the Celtics uniform. But it is very obvious that Ime recognizes and understands that although Marcus isn't on superstar level like Jalen and Jason, he's still needed. And there's something about him that is included because Marcus is one of our vets now. Like Marcus has been with us for a while. And he is that type person that I still believe that can be a good point, starting point guard. Although I would love him off the bench because of his ability to be able to calm the bench. But given what we have right now, I think speaking on that connection between Jalen, Jason, and Marcus, you could get something really going well with those three and have us be successful.
That sounds like, in my opinion, a Celtics big three. Now, hear me out. Mm-hmm. I know Ray Allen was a superstar. I know Kevin Garnett was a superstar. And I know Paul Pierce was a superstar. And all of these guys were at the peak of their prime, on their way down from their prime. Right. They surrounded the team with young guys, Rajon Rondo, Kendrick Perkins, and a depth, a bench, like shooters, big guys, rotational pieces, like veteran depth. There wasn't young rookies on that bench. I think that's where Brad and Danny effed up. I think that's kind of where they messed up, right? Yep. Right? And they kind of alluded from, all right, we got away from what we knew would win. All right. And so I think Marcus Smart, I'm not saying he is the best, you know, combo point guard, shooting guard in the NBA. What I'm saying is he brings a certain different set of intangibles to the game and things that you can't coach and things that you need certain players to have. I think with his mindset, because we're going to talk about the mindset really soon, the mentality is coming up. When we talk about the mindset, I think Coach Udoka's mindset is what Marcus Smart is when it comes to basketball. Because if you remember when Udoka played, he was a defensive guy more than he was an offensive guy. Mm-hmm. And he's going to talk a little bit about that later on in his pressers. What are your thoughts as far as, you know, you said you'd rather have Marcus Smart coming off the bench, but I think Marcus Smart is your starting point guard going into the season.
I agree. I think what I'm finding after watching the last three seasons is we keep looking for these all-star point guards to be able to match up with the Jays, and it hasn't worked out, right? Why not develop and go with the guy that's been with the team, been with the Jays all throughout this, he's been consistently getting better offensively, although we all scream when he makes certain shot selections. He has been getting better offensively. And defensively, Marcus, that was Marcus. He was the dog. He was the general. And we've seen how Marcus can pass. So being able to get the guys open with somebody like Marcus who can pass now to Al, who can pass now to Rob, who Rob and Al are also both great passers. JT's also a great passer. I mean, Marcus can handle those responsibilities. And kind of wish now, thinking back, maybe that's where they should have went to in the first place. Although I love Kemba, perhaps that might have been a better choice. Almost like the same way with Terry Rozier. Yeah, Terry wanted to go, but looking now, it's like maybe we should have did the homegrown talent and developed what we had instead of trying to find, let me get the superstar, let me get the superstar. Because it doesn't always work. Because it requires that person, whoever that superstar point guard, to be humble and be willing to defer to the Jays. And everybody cannot do that and be successful.
Very good point. Very good point. But now, Brandon, look, I want to do something for, like, the most active person in the chat right now. Because Brandon, you know, I can't get my man to get on the Twitch, which would make it so much easier for me to, like, do, like, a reward and stuff. But he is rocking YouTube right now, and he's asking some of the most banging questions. Now, I'm going to give this to you first. I'll answer it second. According to some sources, Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown could be gone for a deal getting you guys back Damian Lillard. Your thought? I don't know.
I love how people like to put Celtics in a lot of conversations when it talks about trades and everything else. But with the way, if you watch Ime's presser, that's not what the impression that I got at all. Like, he was very clear to mention that the Jays are the pillars. And I know people say, oh, we can get rid of Jalen and get Dame. Why would you get rid of a 25-year-old player, superstar player, all-star player, getting into his prime for Dame Lillard? Although I know it looks pretty with all the great shots and everything else, but what we have now is better than pulling in, again, another superstar point guard who, okay, so now you got Dame Lillard and Jason Tatum. Okay, who else you got? You have to, like you said, build around them. Like, we need those vet players. So you got an Al now. You got Marcus. You got... No, Marcus does not need to be traded. I do not agree with that at all. And it's not just because I love him. Like I said, I just think he works better with the Jays, if that's where Ime is looking at. I think people are so quick to want to get rid of Marcus because they don't see his value because of his offense. But there's more to a player than just being able to make these pretty, beautiful logo three-point shots. How is he handling defense? So, like, it's those kind of things you have to think about.
And I agree with you to an extent, right? Because Marcus Smart, he's in a contract season. Mm-hmm. Marcus is going to have to figure out a way to score 20-plus points a night. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to give you that 20 that you were looking from Kemba Walker. Mm-hmm. I think at some point, Marcus has to figure out his offense, whether it's getting to the basket, getting free throws. I don't mind him taking 3 or 4 three-pointers a game, right? But he has to find a way to consistently score you points. And I think when people talk about whether they're Celtic fans, whether they're not Celtic fans, they're NBA fans, I think people, thank you so much, Jager, I think people really want Marcus Smart to be a part of the unit, but mm-hmm. part of this team, but they're seeing inconsistent scoring. And in order to win games, you need to score points. And so when the Celtics get out there and they're missing that 20 from that one player, that's putting more work on Brown. That's putting more work on Tatum. That's saying Tatum got to go out and score 40. I think to go back to his question, you know, whether it's a rumor, whether it's true, whether we don't know. I like to see that trade? That's tough because I know from Lillard, at least for the next 4 seasons, the Celtics would be at least in the Eastern Conference Finals, at least all 4 of those seasons. He has 4 more years on his contract. With him near, they got to double him. Or they got to double Tatum. Like, you got to
look. Who else? If Jalen's gone, who are you giving the ball to?
You got to look at it like that. So if they're double, they can't double Tatum and Lillard. You can't double both. Lillard gets to the basket. He gets foul calls. I know Jaylen Brown does it too. I like the Jaylen Brown's age thing. That's working really in my favor. That's why I would not want to get rid of one of those guys. This is why he called them pillars, right? Mm-hmm. They're the ground up, right? Just in case you guys don't know what a pillar is, I'll show you. Hold on 1 second. I got a picture of a pillar. See the things in the left and the right sides, you know, before we make them into columns. Those are the things that are holding up the wall. If you look in your house, you go in the basement, you probably got some pillars holding up the floor, like the foundation, right? Connected to the foundation. And so I think you don't move Jaylen Brown. But I do understand why you would move a Marcus Smart. But I know you're not going to be able to get Damian Lillard for just a Marcus Smart. That's like a dumb thing. You have to give up a Jaylen Brown. And then we got to talk about contracts and numbers and all those things. Hold on. Barbara's talking. So we got some questions. Marcus has tremendous energy. He never gives up in a game. And I see him directing the defense. How about Marcus practicing his threes like Ray Allen did? Barbara, the difference between Marcus Smart and Ray Allen's a three-point shooter, period, point blank. He's been doing it. Marcus Smart in practice can hit threes like he is a machine.
Right.
And then in the games, I just don't think he does it enough.
Right.
That's not his thing. Like, it's muscle memory, right?
But I think it also goes back to what you said. So let's say Ime, again, if he's developing the players and that's what he's looking to do, and he knows that driving is Marcus's thing, perhaps that'll be something that he's going to say, Marcus, because I really want him. I believe he's going to pull out what's best in these players, right? Marcus, driving is your thing. drive to the basket, cut to the basket, and then pass out, because passing is also your thing. We also know Marcus can defend the five. So even if Marcus is driving, he's still able to kind of box out the big man or whatever and get someone else that open space.
Intangibles.
So yeah. So I think that's the stuff that Ime's talking about as far as being able to realize, okay, because they've all said it. They're trying to watch out for cap space. They're trying to make sure they're surrounding the best players. I don't think they're going to spend huge amounts of cash on a expensive person like a Dame Lillard when you can develop a Marcus Smart. Maybe not being a three-point assassin like Ray Allen was, but how about being a good driver? Like, we don't hardly get people to drive to the basket on this team. Everybody wants to be the three-point shooter. Let's start developing and realize, listen, you can drive too to get points. There's a charity stripe there for a reason. And whether or not we get those calls, we just got to keep trying it.
Yeah, and so he also, Ime, spoke about guys with different personalities and how guys are going to have to change up some things and how he has to address people a little bit differently. But he's going to be on their ASSs, right? Mm-hmm. He said that. And so I think he was really talking about a Marcus Smart who would rather pull up and shoot a wide open three than go ahead and get to the basket to get the two, maybe get the and one. So you're going to see we should see a different play from Marcus Smart, and it starts with the coaching.
Yes.
Right. I think Brad was just letting this guy do whatever he wanted to do because of all he was rewarding him for all the hustle work and all that good stuff. When so Marcus Smart,
where the love and trust came from. We love and trust Marcus to make those crazy threes, but now, come on, you can't do that.
It's time to play team basketball, which he's going to speak about as well. We're going to get into that. And so Marcus Smart, in my opinion, at times wasn't playing team ball. If Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown went ISO, I didn't like it, but I was okay with it because I knew one-on-one they could score. Now, one-on-three, they ain't scoring. But one-on-one, Marcus Smart would do the same thing. He just doesn't have that same capability, and I think that's kind of what messed him up.
And like you said, it goes back to coaching. I don't think Ime is going to allow that. Like, you coming up and doing a spot of three with 12, 14, 15 seconds on the clock. No, bro, that's not your game. We're going to be seeing a lot of that. Is that your shot? If it's not your shot, why did you take it then? Ewing type.
I agree.
I feel like
I do want Marcus Smart taking at least, you know, three shots, though. Again.
Yes.
Because he can hit a three.
Because like you said, it keeps his memory going, that muscle memory.
He can hit threes. Let's not act like he can't. It's just a muscle memory thing. Like, he's not shooting as consistent as a Jaylen Brown, right? He's not shooting as consistent as a Jason Tatum. We saw them miss some bad threes, right? And so Marcus has missed some too, but we do know he can shoot threes. So, Barbara, great observation. He can hit the threes. That's just not what you want him doing, because you want him, if he's going to be the point guard on his team, and we're all saying we need a pass-first point guard, Marcus Smart needs to be that pass-first point guard. I feel like if he's getting the ball to his stars, I feel like his assists will go up. I feel like that 27 team low assist, 27th in the league, that would be higher. All right. Jagger 805 says, Breezy, what happens if Marcus is unhappy with his role? This is a great question, too. Then he leaves us next year for nothing. Rather trade Marcus and get something in return. I like the way you're thinking. Like, this is a great thought process, right? Mm-hmm. Because you got to think about it. If you can get high reward for Smart now, Queen, do you move him? Because you can get a high reward. If he has a bad season, then it's like you guys didn't win and you don't get anything from him. So it's a loss for the Celtics.
But I feel like everybody's going with this what if scenario. Although I get it. Like, again, when we were talking about getting a new point guard, like when we say Lonzo Ball, well, we only could get a Lonzo Ball if we package up a Marcus to go with whatever, to be able to have the money to be able to do it. But it's just like I think it's hard because this is Ime's first year. We have to be able to see what happens. We have up until trade deadline to decide, okay, we can move Marcus or whatever. Like, it's plenty of time, plenty of games for us to be able to see what's up. I just don't want to have those conversations yet until we see how they are. And we'll know how they're happy they are as we're going to start playing, because we know how their locker room reflects back onto the actual court. So it'll be something that we probably can watch, but I wouldn't want to make that decision right now, because what if we're missing out on what would be awesome potential? Because everybody wants to get rid of Tristan, and I don't know what's going to happen with Tristan right now. But I would still, like I said, stick with Marcus right now. We have until the trade deadline, and then we can talk. But at least let them get some games in for, before we start saying, well, Marcus is going to be unhappy with his role. Let's stop taking the negative automatic. Let's try to think that the way Ime was talking and that the fact that all three of them were able to be a part of this hiring process, that he's aware and knows.
I agree. And Donald, you were right. You're not going to get a high reward. What I mean by reward, I'm just saying getting more in compensation for a player that has some type of value. Because if you don't trade them, and let's put it in the money terms. Mm-hmm. I can get $10 for Marcus Smart now, mm-hmm. or I can get $0 for Marcus Smart. He walks, and we still don't win. Right. You get what I'm saying? And so, it's like, do I take the $10 now and add a different player? That, you know what I'm saying? A couple of veterans off the bench, blah, 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 blah. Or do I trust in Marcus Smart and hope if we have a good season, he re-signs with the Celtics for a low number? Because you're not going to be able to pay Marcus Smart $15, $16 million a year. Not if you're still trying to sign Evan Fournier and you're trying to bring back these guys. Jason Tatum will be in his max contract, which you can kind of go over the cap for that because you got the owner's bird rights. But there's just different things, you know what I'm saying, that can go into that. So I do agree you won't be able to get a high reward.
Right. And then it also comes back to, I'm always a fan of chemistry and gelling. And if we keep changing pieces, right, no matter how much we develop this team, if you're constantly changing pieces, then you got to go through the first 3 months for them getting to know each other and feeling comfortable playing ball together. And it just slows down the process. So let's try to build up what we got, see how the chemistry works, and then you can decide, okay, maybe it's not going to work with Marcus, but at least give the dude a chance. Because I think Marcus, I said this to you before, I think he's earned that chance. I think everybody says, well, he's better off the, right, heart and soul. You're right, Raquel. That's Raquel. That's the whole thing. So, I think Marcus has been passed over a few times for a superstar, and I think people kind of ignore those intangibles that made him a good starter when we needed him to be a good starter. So I just want to give him a little bit more time.
And this is what it's going to come down to. If they don't feel like Marcus Smart is going to sign with the Celtics, they're going to move him.
Yep.
Like you guys got to factor in that. We can't be attached to these players because players will leave to go get paid. So we got to stop saying, oh, this shouldn't happen or this, but it can. Because there's two to three sides to every story. So Marcus Smart's situation is hey, man, I'm on my final year of my contract. I know y'all not going to be able to pay. I see it all the time. Now, I'm not saying he won't take a discount or whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't know. We don't know Marcus Smart's situation. And I hate when people say that, oh, they should play for less money to stay here because he's the heart and soul of the team. No, they shouldn't.
Right.
They need to go get paid.
Get paid. That's
why they balled out.
Right. Exactly.
Hey, it took me 7 months to get ran on Twitch. This calls for a reward.
Welcome, Brandon.
Oh my goodness, yo. Like I promise he was not budging, yo. He must like Keisha. I think No, Jager, I think he should be some good depth. I do agree with Raquel. He is the heart and soul of this team. Ain't no love in the heart of the city. That is Marcus Smart 100%. Mm-hmm. It would be really hard to see them move on. Only thing I'm thinking is this. Oh, Keish, you keep saying give these players a chance. I'm more of giving players a chance. But if they aren't what the coach wants.
Yeah.
You got to move on. You know what I mean?
So I'm learning because I am one of those people who love my players. I love, you already know. Who's still in my room? Look. Still in my room. I refuse to take him down. I love players, right? I love the players. But I have to learn, too, that it's also a business. And if it doesn't work, now is the time to make changes because you have a new coaching staff. You have a new coach. And let him drive and lead the way he wants to. And I have to learn how to trust that the head coach understands and knows what they need. I think, I think Danny loved the players as well. And that was why we ended up with the roster that we did, because it was, you don't want to get rid of a Shimmy, or you don't want to get rid of a Grant, or you don't want to let go of a Carson Edwards, or you don't want to let go of a...
What the heck are you talking about? I'm stopping you right now. I was ready to move on from Shimmy. I was ready to move on from Carson Edwards, which I know you're not going to get much from them. You cut them. I don't know how much they hurt the cap, but dang, they didn't help the team. Like, they just weren't. I was ready to move on.
He kept them, right. You see what I'm saying? Like,
I think he kept them because he had no choice. You get what I'm saying? Meaning, if I, like, even right now, the Carson Edwards situation, right? If you cut Carson, I mean, you might as well keep him. He only costs you like a mil or two, and you need depth, right? And so I can see why you need depth, right?
But is he the depth that we need, though?
I don't know. At some point, year three, year four, what is he going into year four, three? He should be able to hit a three-point shot. Yeah. Maybe Udoka can develop his three-point shot. Check this out. If Udoka builds a relationship with Carson Edwards,
makes
bam,
a connection.
There we go. And makes the connection. Speaking of relationships, here you go.
I think it's all relationship based. You got to build that foundation off the court somewhat. Also understand you can't coach everybody the same way. What motivates others might embarrass others. And so you find that balance there. But like I said, it comes down to trust, respect, and, you know, being in alignment with our goals. And I think the players, it comes down to their character ultimately also, you know, the way they want to be pushed and taking constructive criticism. And we have a group that has done that so far, that the times I've been with them. And I think just in our conversations lately, they're looking forward to that. So it's just striking the balance of knowing their personalities, you know, how they want to be coached. And like I said, we have a willing group, and they've only reiterated that with myself in our conversations lately. So looking forward to it. I'm not worried about our group, you know, worried about hard coaching. They're asking for that, and it's something I'm going to bring to the table.
Relationships.
I like that. I'm saying,
I don't know if they had everything written for him. You could tell stuff wasn't written because he was kind of stumbling and bumbling with his words. Yep. And he was not stumbling, he was nervous.
Yeah,
because you can hear him.
You
can
tell. Yeah, it's like it's first. It's first. Yeah,
there's a little tremor, little tremor in his voice. like you kind of heard it in there, but you hear the sincerity, right? And my favorite part was when he talked about the mentality. Because him implementing his mentality into the players is key.
Right.
And he spoke about defense. He spoke about offense.
Yep.
But let's check and see what he said about his mentality.
As far as stamp on the team, what I was as a player was a, you know, tough, hard-nosed player, defensive-minded. But I love the offensive side as well. I've done defense the last 2 years in Philadelphia and Brooklyn. But for seven years in San Antonio, I was doing offense and defense. And so, you know, we want to have a well-rounded team. Looked at the numbers overall. Sorry to mention this, Brad, but 27th in assists last year. We want to have more team basketball there. But at the same time, you have to understand what your personnel dictates. And that's Jason, Jalen, and guys that can really score the basketball at elite level. So you play toward their strengths. Obviously, we'll have a defensive mentality going in. And you know, I like to try to bring the dog out in guys. And we got some young dogs here and look forward to pushing them.
My man said I like bringing the dog out. Come on.
Listen. First of all, he took a dig at Brad. That was official.
He told
the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, the guy that signs and writes his checks, that you sucked in assist, Brad. Like, I just want to know how you felt about that.
I was so proud of him because you spoke the obvious, bro. Like, I didn't want to, like, at first I was like, was that a dig? And I'm like, yeah, it was a dig. And Brad smiled because Brad knows. Like, don't act like you didn't know. Like, that's horrible. We all saw it all through the season. Like, pass the ball. Like, it drove all of us crazy. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you did enough background, enough history to say, bro, listen, this is not acceptable. I loved it. Because that means he's not afraid to speak up when he knows something needs to be changed. I'll take that any day. Brad just got to bite the bullet on the mitt. Yeah, you know, it probably wasn't that great.
Let me tell you what I love about Udoka, right?
Mm-hmm.
We whipped his tail when we played Philly. When he was coaching Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Like we kind of like beat him 4-1 or something
swept
like that.
Up. No, 4-0. Yeah. Oh,
we swept, excuse me.
Straight 4.
But he went and did his homework.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we haven't beaten him since.
Exactly.
We beat him like one, but we haven't won a series is what I'm trying to say.
Not with Brooklyn, no.
That right there?
Impressive.
That's the mentality that I'm talking about. That's the mentality saying, you know what? Y'all got the best of me. I was kind of new to this kind of like situation dealing with, you know, Embiid and coaching those guys or whatever like that. I tell you what, next time you see me, I got something for you. Now, he had better players, but he's short enough. He had to coach superstars. This is one of the reasons why I like him. Yes. He had to coach Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. Do you know how hard it is to manage those three? He just told us in the presser, look, I'm going to get different personalities.
Yes.
If you can manage.
Look,
the Celtics couldn't manage Kyrie Irving's personality. Nope. Brad Stevens couldn't do it, you know, but Udoka did.
He sure enough did. And got him playing defense. He actually got the Nets playing defense. When they felt like playing defense, they played defense hard.
I know Kevin Durant could play defense, right? I know that. When he wants to turn it on, it's legit. It's elite, right? Yep. But James Harden was playing on ball.
Right.
Kyrie Irving was on ball. Now, I'm going to say that Brad Stevens instilled a lot of that on ball defense because Kyrie Irving's defense got better as
when
a Celtic.
He was Celtic. Yes, he did.
I would say that. He looked like he was all in. At least defensively, and then the injury started piling on, and then all that stuff started happening.
But you see what Udoka was able to do. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you can manage different personalities, and everybody has to be coached based on their personality, but everybody still has to understand it's still about team.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to miss people's questions because they're tuning into the live show. So I definitely want to be able to respond. Listen, if we miss your questions, we'll go back on the YouTube and we'll go ahead and answer them there, right? Barbara says, do you think we're going to be able to keep Time Lord? Absolutely. Time Lord is only costing us $3 million.
Right. It's about Time Lord's health.
it's more, do you want to keep Time Lord? You know, it's going to be one of those situations. But I'm like Keish, man. I'm the type of person, like, I don't think that the Celtics were broke. I just think that they needed a different mentality implemented to the mindset of the players. The one thing I said all last season was Brad Stevens can't coach these players. He's lost the players. He's lost them.
Yep.
And you saw it.
Yep. And we couldn't figure out like what was wrong.
No, you knew what was wrong. Players started becoming superstars. Players started emerging. Players started becoming like cream to crop. When you get a Subway commercial, you're a superstar.
Yep.
That means you made it. Subway is the king of commercials. All right. And when you get that, like that right there, I knew Brad was going to struggle. I knew he wasn't going to be able to pull that extra little bit out of Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. I think the players had to do it kind of like on their own. And then when you're a coach and you kind of like lose your locker room because you might not have certain veterans in there or whatnot. I think Al Horford, I said this, I tweeted this. He will be the key to the development of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Grant Williams.
Time Lord.
Rob Williams. This is why you don't want to get rid of Rob.
Nope.
And because Marcus Smart.
Yep. And this is what I'm saying. The pieces that we were missing wasn't really the offense. It was that veteran presence.
That's it.
It was that coach. Like, I think Brad, too many times when we got down in games, he would try to give them, like, make them figure it out. And you don't need that kind of coach. You need the coach that be like, hey, wake up. This is what we're going to do. This isn't working. Know how to make adjustments. Know how to be able to change up when they're changing up. Like, Brad just would not change up when it's like, Brad, they're blowing us out right now. The lineup's not working. I know you love this player, this player, this player. Don't put them on the court. And it was very frustrating as a fan to see that my coach wasn't coaching the way he was coaching, let's say, the year before. And I think Brad, I think he had some burnout. And I think he did mention it a little bit, being in the bubble. Maybe even he himself, he knew this is as far as I could take this team. It's time for either me moving on or in this case, moving up. So it just all happened maybe at the right time.
I agree with you. Brandon says, I think Kyrie's a brat. That's fair. I feel the future is Tatum. That's also fair. And you need Smart to improve his 3-point and get more shooters. I think you said everything as a king. I like when other fans of teams tune in because they're looking at it from the outside in, whereas we're looking at it from the inside out and trying to figure out how to internally fix what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then you got people telling us, no, this is what's wrong. This is what we see. And I like that you, out of all people, found a way to reflect because you were on the train of don't fire Brad. Now, listen, this is why Brad should have been on the hot seat. And luckily, his seat got hot because he was moving on up to the east side. And so I think Brad knew his time was up as the coach. He knew he was tapped out. He knew he couldn't reach the players, the way the game is transcending, like just so many things. And it was time to move on to a coach that can build better relationships. Yep. And I think that's why we hired Ime. I really
It's kind of like, you know, like Brad is definitely an X's and O's genius. He's great with ATOs, things like that. But it was something missing there. And the players started to take the mentality of the coach. So Brad was laid back. That means the players started to be laid back. The players were ending up the ones fighting to the refs when they know calls should have been made and not the coach. And the coach is the one really that should be always fighting for his players, and he didn't. I feel like Ime will do that. Like, I think he will not be afraid to say, hey, like, what's going on with these foul calls, blah, 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 or being able to speak up more than Brad did. Because Brad was more like, okay, guys, don't get upset. You know, just, you got to play through it. No, sometimes you got to fight too and say, hey, this isn't right. And I'm hoping that Ime will be that type coach to say, listen, I see the difference between free throws right now. Something ain't right. Can we get it together? Mm. Not whining like a Nick Nurse, but at least saying, hey, you guys got to respect my players and give them their chance at the charity stripe when you see obvious fouls. That's what I'm wanting. And I want Ime to be able to do that. And Brad did it. So that's another little thing that I'm hoping Ime will bring.
I don't know how to do this, but somebody will teach me. I will gift someone a free subscription to the Twitch channel if you can find a link that shows how many technical fouls Brad Stevens had, because I'm on zero right now. Like, I just don't think he got into any arguments with any refs or he got kicked out of any games. Now, not saying I want that to happen as a head coach, but when a call is blatantly wrong, I would love, the players would love to see their coach get fired up one time. And guess what those players like Marcus Smart would do? Will the team to a victory. And so when your coach is missing that, now I will say this, with Doc Rivers' no voice, I tell you what, he was out there willing his team together because guys, we got to come. They played for Doc. You want to know why Doc was good? The players played for Doc Rivers, man. They truly did. Jager says, I don't get why Brad wouldn't start Pritchard. I just want you to stop scratching your head because there's a lot of things that didn't make sense. But I don't know if Keish, you want to take a stab at this. I do know Pritchard got hurt toward the end of the season. When he started to come back, he just was not the same Pritchard.
He wasn't himself. When he hurt, I think he tweaked his knee. I think it was his knee and his ankle. And after that, I think he just was in pain, so he couldn't really get into a good rhythm. Yeah. So I think that's why Brad didn't start him. But, you know, even during the playoffs, you could start to see that he might have been feeling better because he was playing a little bit better. Especially like at the game that I was at, even though we lost, I was seeing him and Nesmith making good decisions, making good plays. So I think that
first round picks.
Yes. And again, I think that Pritchard, because he does play good defense when he's out there, I think he can learn. Again, development. It's gonna be all about developing everyone. So I think that's why Brad just probably didn't want to play him because of the injury. And they knew we weren't gonna go that much further, so why put somebody in danger when you don't have to?
I agree. And so that's why you saw the absence of Kemba Walker. You saw the absence of Pritchard a lot. You saw bigger lineups, right? Bigger guys playing point guard. Jason Tatum taking over. Neesmith coming in, blah, blah, blah. Marcus Smart rotating. All right, let's talk about the implementation that Coach Udoka wants to implement with his team real quick. Let's go to that presser.
Well, to your point, I got an up close and personal view in the playoffs, obviously with Philadelphia last year and Brooklyn this year. So you just see the growth and the potential. you know, you have a lot of young talent that we're not talking about right now. A lot of first round picks that have talent to, obviously we want to expedite their transition and growth. But as I keep continue to mention the pillars, you got tough, hard nosed guys. I think a mix of veterans that we'll talk about in free agency, whether it's bringing Al back, Marcus Smart, guys like that, the potential is there. It's just a matter of being consistent. And like I said, I got swept in Philadelphia a year ago, and then we got them in five this year. So we've seen both ends of the spectrum. But throughout the whole thing, you know, I saw how Brad pushed him. It was a chess match somewhat with me being a defensive guy, going back and forth with him, adjustment-wise, game after game. But I keep going back to the personnel and the players. That's what makes it so attractive. And look forward to working with Jason over the next month in USA and Tokyo. But in general, I'll be touching down with the guys, being very hands-on. That's not going to change as a head coach, and excited to work with this roster.
I love it.
Spoke really highly of the players. He spoke highly of the first round picks. I loved it. I can't get off of that. He didn't mention them by their names,
but he knows who they are.
But we know who they are because the Celtics have a lot of first round picks, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's talking about developing them. If you watch the whole presser, he's talking about how he's going to be able to help develop certain guys.
Yep.
If Time Lord can find a way to stay healthy,
he would be an amazing center.
He's already a defensive juggernaut, right?
Oh my God.
You watched him get better on the rotate and of the perimeter, you know?
Yep.
You watched them get better on closing out. You watched them get a little bit better on switching.
Yep.
He just got to stay healthy.
He was adding that little mid-range, little J that he was trying to start working on. So I think, again, it's developing and keeping healthy, which is one of the things I loved about Al's presser, because he was talking about, you know, taking guys like Grant and Rob under his wing so that he can be able to teach them. That's that veteran presence that Amy's talking about. That's why I know people are like, oh, we want to get this superstar, blah, blah, blah. I don't think that's what they're looking for. I honestly think they're looking for some vets during the offseason, the free agency, to be able to, like you said, fill in those little gaps so that they have those people that's been doing this and in the game for a while to be able to not only help develop them as players, but help to develop that mentality that they need to be championship contenders. Because it's all great and good if you are an offensive threat, if you are a decent defensive threat. But if you don't got that hard-nosed mentality, that dog mentality that he's talking about, that can get you over when you guys are down or even be able to maintain it when your guys are up, it's going to be a waste. And we'll always just be in this Eastern Conference Finals kind of rounding the circle. You know what I'm saying? That's why I liked him saying, look, we got first-round picks, which means they are more than capable of being able to be great players. You just got to pull it out of them. Look at that.
I was acting out what you were saying at the same time and saying, "Dirty Pop." No, I'm just playing. All right, so you. All right, a couple of rumors: Celtics and Ime Udoka are finalizing a deal with Spurs assistant Will Hardy to join Udoka's coaching staff in Boston. So this is going to be one of the assistant coaches. And here's the one Woj put out. Pacific's Damon Stoudemire is a target of the Boston Celtics to join the new coach, Ime Udoka's staff. Sources tell ESPN Stoudemire is a former WCC Coach of the Year and NBA Rookie of the Year. He also played 13 NBA seasons. You need Marcus Smart to get his shot right? That's the coach, right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the coach right there. Now, we did a poll on our Seabreeze podcast account on Twitter. Does foundational piece and the term pillar carry the same value? Results will be displayed, obviously, and 64% of our votes say yes. 36% of our votes said no. And so I brought that up because we want to talk about this guy. And he spoke about pillars, and we're going to be getting out of here soon. He spoke about the pillars. He mentioned Jason Tatum. He also mentioned Jaylen Brown. Those are your pillars. But then he spoke about kind of like foundation. And then that's kind of where Marcus Smart comes in. So I kind of get it. And so I think personally that they're different. So I voted no. I think they're personal because you need foundation to put the pillars on.
You get where I'm going with this? All right. Yep. So, Ime Udoka on Marcus Smart's leadership and impact on the Celtics. This was from Guy Boston Sports. Shout out to Guy Boston Sports. Make sure you follow at Guy Boston Sports on Twitter. Marcus is a very vocal leader. The things he brings to your team are the things you love every player to bring. What he does for Jason and Jalen is invaluable in my eyes. This is, again, why Marcus Smart will 9 times out of 10 be re-signed as a Boston Celtic.
I totally agree with you. I mean, it's just, he was so, his words about all three of them were so inspirational, and it kind of got his mindset. He's obviously been watching them. He coached them, obviously, when we were doing the USA team last year. So he's been watching them. It wasn't just, oh, I coached him at the USA team. No, I think he's been watching them for a while, and now you get this opportunity to be able to coach them. He knows what he's getting from these players, and he knows what he can expect from them and how they work together as a tangent. And like you said, you need that foundation to build the pillars on, and they have to be a strong person because, again, they all have their own mentality. And Marcus has to be the one to be like, listen, y'all need to do this and y'all need to do that. And people, I think, respect Marcus in that locker room for being that dog. Now, again, you have an Al that can kind of reinforce the foundation. So now you're getting into this whole, you got your reinforcing the foundation. You got those young players now standing on the shoulders of the two pillars, and you're starting to build a team. And that's what we did not do last year. We didn't build a team. We had great players, but now I'm starting to feel like with the way Ime's talking, he's talking about not just this season. I'm seeing the next 5 seasons. I'm looking forward and not just like right now. He's looking in this whole panoramic and saying, I know what we have. We have what we need right here. The players have said this over and over again. We don't need such and such. We have what we need right here. And so it's just allowing your coach now to believe what you have right there and develop it. That's why I'm hyped. I could talk about this all day.
I love it. I love it. It's very exciting to know because, you know, we as Celtic fans, we're looking for a change. We're looking for an upgrade. We're looking for a more long-lasting effect when it comes to, like, players, team runs, all those different types of things that we just didn't see. You know what I'm looking forward to this season? I'm looking forward to the Celtics not playing down by, like, 35 points trying to come back to winning.
Oh, my God. Am I the only one hyped up about that, too? Like,
I'm definitely not looking for, like, I think that will be different this year. Not a shot at Brad. It's just something that he just allowed his team to do. 5 point, 6 point, 8 point run, call timeout. I don't care if you only get 3, 4, 5 timeouts a game.
Call Brad that would timeout. Wait until, oh my God, he wait till, okay, then now we're 20 down. Brad, you should have called a timeout 15 run points ago. Like, come on, bro.
That was my only gripe with Brad. He didn't make adjustments.
I'm also excited about, I heard the word ball movement. I was getting super hyped about the assists and the ball movement. We play our best ball when that dagnabbit ball is moving. Scalabrine says it all the time. Anytime the Celtics does more than 25 assists, we win. I cannot wait to start seeing those high assist numbers during the game. That is enough to get me hyped.
Now, that means, this is what that means, though. That means no more dumb shots by Marcus Smart. Mm-mm. No more dumb shots by Jaylen Brown. Mm-mm. And no more dumb shots by Jason Tatum. And they take dumb shots. Let me tell you something. I get the 2-for-1 situation. I'm cool with that. I understand that 100%. What I mean by dumb is they'll take shots that are just low percentage shots. Those are dumb shots, in my opinion.
I agree with you.
I think if the ball just moves, it'll get back to you, Tatum. It'll get back to you, Jalen. Hell, it'll get back to you, Marcus, and you'll be wider than wide open like Moses splitting the Red Sea, and you can shoot all day.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
It's learning about trusting. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Building relationships. Like, yeah, I'm sure they're all friends, but they got to be trusting each other out on the court and say, listen, if I'm passing the ball to Wayne, I know either he's going to make sure he's in a good position to get a good shot, or he's going to pass it to the next person so that they can get in a good position or I can get in a good position. It's not about ISO holding the ball. Yes, I love those ISO moments. They're so beautiful, especially when those shots are falling. But You got to keep passing the ball around so everybody stays active, because it keeps the opponent having to constantly switch up, having to be ready for you, not knowing who's going to come for what. Keep doing that. That's winning basketball.
I agree. Now, if you get hot on the ISO, then you keep shooting until you don't, you're not hot.
Right.
Because now they're going to start putting a couple of people. If they're stupid enough not to put two or three people on you, and you got a one-on-one, and Kevin Durant does it all the time, and no one complains about it. Jason Tatum does it all the time. I'm less complaining when it's a one-on-one. I'm talking about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum when it's one-on-three.
Yes.
When you run into a trap.
Yeah.
And don't pass the ball. Like, that's what I'm talking about. That's dumb, in my opinion. That's low
JB
IQ.
JB does that. Yes.
All the time. JB, the time. I love Jay. I love his aggression. But Jaylen Brown would try to drive on three people and bang. All right. Now, a little fun fact. Did you know on this day, Rajon Rondo was drafted by the Phoenix Suns, but traded to the Boston Celtics?
Best trade ever.
That was the year we won the championship in 07.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, what a trade.
Yep, 07, 08. 08.
Yeah. So 07, that was the year. Yeah, he was drafted in 06. Season. Yeah. It was the right. But isn't that cool?
Did I say
Channing Tatum? I thought I said Jason Tatum. I might have said Channing Tatum. Yeah, I don't know, Brandon. You got good ears. But ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna leave you with this last little clip from our coach. Look, if you haven't figured out on this show, we are excited about a new head coach because there's a new regiment coming into town, and there's going to be some things that are going to be a little bit differently for the Boston Celtics. So the last piece we're going to leave you with is the why wait moment. And the why wait is what I think takes the cake. He's telling these players, why wait? Check it out.
These guys, don't give them too much respect. And I'd say the same thing to Jason and Jaylen. You know, the sky's the limit. The fact that you're not all NBA, that should be a chip on your shoulder. You should play with that edge and want to prove people wrong. But my message to them would be, why wait? The talent is there. The work ethic is there. It's a chance to be a better leader and vocal, more vocal at times. But don't wait for anything. Go out and take it now.
Be a go-getter. That's what I got. That's my final thoughts. Queen, final thoughts.
Woo, it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful first game day, day one, when we have our first game and Udoka is driving. I cannot wait for the preseason. October is not going to get here fast enough for the Queen. I'm going to be going nuts, but I'm so excited. I'm so proud. I'm so glad that we have somebody just as passionate about Celtics basketball as we are, and I am expecting great things. That's all. That's all I got to say.
I'm expecting some growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting, you know, not to be a negative Nancy, but I know some things aren't going to be as easy when it comes to transition. I will say this, though. Once these players are all on one accord, look out for the Boston Celtics. Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all so much for tuning in to Seabreeze. We'll be back next Wednesday, same time, same places. If you have friends that are on YouTube, tell them to subscribe to us on YouTube. That's youtube.com/WayneBreezy. It's already in the chat, so go ahead and click on those links. And also, follow and subscribe to us on Twitch, where we go live each and every Wednesday. Again, twitch.tv/WayneBreezy. We out, y'all. We love you. Stay up. Keep it bleeding green. We out. Peace. Thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. Please follow and subscribe on twitch.tv/WayneBreezy. Also on YouTube, youtube.com/WayneBreezy. Tune into the American dream. Throw the fist up one time for the team. 17 banners about to make it 18. Threes up, C's up, rep if you bleed green. 2 J's on them. You know the game ain't the same. Play dumb, I'ma get smart on them. Man to man, 2-3 or 3-2 zone. It really don't matter when we send that ass home. Last shot don't freeze. We move the ball on the court with ease. Turn your radios on, the TVs. Relax, kick back, tune in to see breeze. Game on the line, last shot don't freeze. We move the ball on the court with ease. Turn your radios on, the TVs. Relax, kick back, tune in to see breeze.